Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is Tom LeComp.
And this is Gavin Durson, and you're listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to helping folks explore life with Jesus outside of the traditional church. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. It's kind of a rainy, gloomy day, but that means I get to work without flying.
Well, today we want to talk a little bit about a topic that we've hit around the edges on here before, but we're kind of bouncing off pretty much a book that has been released called Church Refugees by a sociologist named Josh Packard. He's a professor of sociology at the University of Northern Colorado. And for matter of full disclosure, neither you or I have read this book, but we have read a lot of articles online, watched some interviews with Josh, and it's something that we felt like would be important to bring up here because I think it really kind of strikes at the core probably of the folks that are in our audience. If you're listening to this, you probably...
We may not have read the book, but we have experience with what he's talking
about.
Yeah,
absolutely. And this idea of people who are leaving the traditional church and not coming back, but it's for interesting reasons. It's not for the typical reasons. And so today I want to talk just a little bit about the profile of someone who he calls a Dunn in his book, Church Refugees, again by Josh Packard. And we want to kind of walk through that a little bit and kind of talk about some of the characteristics of these folks. And if you're like me or perhaps Tom, you might find that you're kind of hearing a profile of yourself somewhat. But one of the things that Josh found out in his study was that people are leaving the church.
You probably heard this analogy before, but people leave the church. And when I say leave the church, I don't mean leaving Christianity. I mean leaving a certain local expression of the church. Certain type of church. Maybe they leave the denomination or switch denominations or something. But we're talking about people who leave the church, and you probably heard this analogy. People leave the church in one of two ways. They can leave as a turtle or they can leave as a skunk. And what that means is if I leave as a turtle, that means I just quietly walk away from a certain church. I don't tell anybody. I don't. I just kind of disengage myself and I walk out the door and you never see me again. And, you know, maybe I'll get a phone call from the pastor, say, hey, you know, everything all right? What's going on? That's a turtle. The other way is to leave as a skunk. And that is you have a beef with the church or somebody in the church. And when you go out, you're going out with a bang. You're going out causing division. You're writing letters. You're confronting people. And just it makes it really ugly. So if you're going to leave a church, leave as a turtle.
Or perhaps ideally it would be great. I kind of feel like me when I left, it was neither of those. It was kind of as someone whom was sent in a sense.
Yeah.
And that would be the ideal. But unfortunately, I don't know that happens a whole lot.
You're the example. You're
I don't know about that. But this is the stat that he uncovers in his book, Josh Packard. He says that 65 million Americans, that's 31% of the adult population, are what he calls Dunns. And these are people that were once a part of a church, and in fact, he found they were often leaders, quote him, the best and the brightest, but that they are now done with church as they have known it. And, you know, that is a pretty amazing statistic. If that's true, and you know, that is an amazing statistic to really wrap your mind around. That 31% of the adult population have left the church and they're not planning on coming back. You know, one of the things he uncovers in there that they are, like he said, the best and the brightest. These are people that are not necessarily done with their faith or following Jesus. They're just done with the traditional church. They're not leaving on a whim. They're not leaving after just one bad experience.
No. These are people that have served, and they've served their church as well as best they can, and if there's a problem or something they see that's wrong, they've really thought about it, and maybe they've even tried to use the Matthew 18 model. They've gone up to someone and say, look, you know, I see this problem. can we deal with it? And maybe they've gone through that process. But no, this is not a whim.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things in his book he finds is that the people who are, he calls duns, they struggled with this over a long period of time. It wasn't, you know, they tried to, many of the people, they were leaders within the traditional church, and that they even, many of them were often quoted as saying that they tried to change they worked long and hard to change the system kind of from within, and that a lot of times that ended up leaving them jaded. And after a long period of kind of thinking it through and wrestling with it, they've walked away from it. And most of them were, you know, they weren't angry necessarily when they left. They were just more what he could consider to be uninterested. And a couple of things he found, too, is that they were a lot of times white, well-educated, and financially stable. And a lot of times these were married folks. So that's...
These aren't crazy people.
You know, I was reading through some of these things online, listening to him talk about it, and I couldn't help but to kind of see myself in the mirror on that, you know. Albeit, if you've listened to this podcast, you kind of know my story, but if you're new to the podcast, I think I was right there teetering on the brink of being a dun when I was asked to sort of leave the church and be sent out by a more traditional church to help folks start house churches and plant organic churches and be a part of seeing if that could happen. And so that was kind of an interesting, very unique situation. But I definitely see myself in the mirror when I kind of read through some of the different characteristics of what Josh calls duns.
Yeah, and the same goes for me. I was heavily involved in church, and I was actually graduating from seminary when I made the decision to leave a traditional church in order to become involved in a smaller expression of church. You know, Gavin has his reasons, and I have my reasons. Gavin's fortunate. He was actually sent, and maybe he'll tell you his story, but he was actually sent out by his church, whereas I was not. I just kind of found this other expression and decided and prayed and felt God leading me into this for whatever we could do with it. So,
yeah, one of the things that Josh points out too is that a lot of times that this isn't people's first choice. Like they didn't want to leave. It's not like they like, man, I can't wait. I'm out of here. I'm so happy to leave. It was almost, there was a bit of sadness in a sense that like as they worked through it, you know. And I think that's something that a lot of folks that I think who do end up leaving it. There's many folks I think that, you know, hopefully what this podcast is about and what, you know, we've been able to hopefully encourage others in our day-to-day lives is that, and I think what this study kind of says, if it's very scary, I think, depending on how you look at it and what lens you look at. But the positive side that I think to look at this is that, one, people are wanting to leave for good reasons, not bad reasons. And what we are here advocating is perhaps an answer to the duns, and at least it's been an answer for you and me the last 10 years 13. Or so, 13 years, and for me, the last years, 5 years, you know, yeah. Is that, hey, you can leave and be done with that, but not done with church, and not done with Jesus, but there's a different way of thinking and going about your life and faith that's very biblical and very fulfilling and very much led by Christ and very much kind of void of some of the things that perhaps compel people to feel like they need to stay and change the system from within, you know. Can be a very frustrating existence, I think, for a lot of folks. But, you know, it's not with, like, great pride that people, a lot of, you know, and as he uncovers, it's not with great pride that people walk away. They were products of the traditional church, many of these quote-unquote duns. They were, you know, came to faith within those structures. They, you know, had a wonderful experience there, saw God do wonderful things, but have gotten to this point to where they can no longer be a part of it. And I think for a lot of people, they get to that place and they have a lot of guilt and shame. They feel that they feel as though there's something wrong with them. And I think that what this study shows is that, you know, hey, if that is you, one, you're not alone. 31% of the adult population, that is a staggering statistic to me. And it is something that, again, I think, highlights the urgency and the importance of what we're trying to advocate here, that there is just a lot of folks that I think the large number of those people and a lot of people that I meet that are Duns, they've left, but they think there is nothing out there. They think there is nothing for them. They think they're just sort of, they're just going to kind of tough it out on their own. But they a lot of times just feel as though that church, they think they're done with church, but they don't realize that there is a different expression
of church. Maybe God's
not
done with them.
Yeah. So I think that's a very interesting book. Again, the book we're talking about is a book that I think I'm going to definitely be picking up as I read a lot about it online.
And we're going to play a video or the audio of a video that's of an interview with this person, and he's talking about these principles about being done with the institutional church. And let you, you know, peruse that for yourself.
One of the things that surprised us most about the Duns is that when they were in church, they were highly engaged congregants. Many of them occupying leadership positions. Some of the people in our sample even rising to the level of pastor as their title, or even on paid staff as a pastor. But the vast majority of them were in leadership position of some sense in their congregation or in their congregations. Even it seemed like when they would move and switch churches, it wouldn't be long before they would rise right back up in terms of like leading small groups or leading Bible studies, being involved with youth group, getting Sunday set up and worship going and all those kinds of things. These are the people in the church that are making things happen.
Well, okay, so they weren't passive, and you said an interesting point I want to highlight there is that many of these folks were staff, former pastors, lay leaders. These were very involved people.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, well let's drop and look at another characteristic. You said that this was a very intentional decision to leave. They didn't leave on a whim or just after one bad experience. Can you share a little bit more on that?
Yeah. This is a big surprise for us. Is that we kind of had this the sense that people were going to be that the Duns were primarily going to be people that were on the fence, maybe sitting in the back row of your pews, so to speak, and it just didn't fit for them or whatever, and then they would leave and never come back. But as it turns out, what happens is that in order to come to this decision that the institution is the problem, not the faith, then you have to accumulate some bad experiences. And so they are moving from church to church to church, and they're finding, for some reasons that we'll get into, either bad experiences or stifling structure or what have you. And so at some point they assess the evidence of their lives and they say, this isn't working. This is not the way that I want to live out my faith, and they don't feel fulfilled, or they don't feel like they are having a chance to live out their call, or what have you. And so, it is just one bad experience, and it's not even the same bad experience over and over again. But it certainly is not just one; it's repeated. It takes, in many cases, years for people to come to this decision.
Well, that's a good segue to our next characteristic. Is this isn't something they just got upset? Someone had a cross conversation with them, and they said, "Okay, I'm leaving next week." It sounds like it was over a prolonged period of maybe thoughtful time and prayer.
Absolutely, and a lot of our respondents talked exactly about that, about making this decision as a prayerful decision. What happened is that they it would take consultation with friends and family, and a lot of them wouldn't leave until they would find some other way to live out their faith. When church was the only thing that they had available, then they would sort of stick with it. But then when they found other ways that were seemingly more fulfilling and more enabling than for them to do the things that they felt called to do, they would do that. But it would take, we talked to people at all stages of this process, people who are just considering it, people who have literally contacted us and said, next week is my last week. And so we've done interviews with them throughout that process, and people who've left, a decade ago. And that seems to be pretty consistent, is that it was never an easy decision.
Well, that's kind of a good segue also to the last point. One of these characteristics are they're not leaving angry. They're not storming out the door, frustrated with the pastor. They're not leaving it. But interesting, they're uninterested. Maybe elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, I thought that, I mean, when we were doing the interviews, we kept getting surprised because they would give us this long walk up to, like, you know, this bad thing happened and this bad thing happened, and I felt stifled here, and the church wasn't the way that, you know, I felt like God wanted it to be. And I felt like all that was going to add up to the conclusion of the interview, them saying, and that's why I hate the church. But that's never what happened. In fact, what people would say is, it's not for me. You know, that people would recognize that at a certain time in their lives that the church played a really important role, and we're going to get to that, because the church plays such an important role for these people, and they are incredibly grateful for the opportunities that they got and the training that they got inside of institutional church. But it's just not, I hesitate to use the word relevant, because I don't mean it in the same way that I know it's a buzzy term in the church world, but it's not relevant for their lives in the sense that it doesn't engage them and their gifts in the same way every day that it used to. I don't mean relevant in the sense that it's not, you know, with the times or going with, you know, dominant opinion. I mean, it's not a thing that allows them to live out their life.
Wow. Well, kind of circling back to something you said earlier, it I don't want it to sound like, and maybe it sounds like they're a little selfish here, but what you said earlier that I want to maybe highlight is that they see it wasn't consistent with how they felt God was calling them to experience and live out their faith. Is that, mm-hmm. am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, and I don't mean this, one of the things that I think we explain pretty clearly in the book is that they are not, when they say these things and when I say these things, they are not talking about theology. I don't know that I've ever come across, I've done a lot of research in the field of religion and talked to lots of people over the years, and this group more than the other is just not interested in finding a theology that matches their theology. They're perfectly fine being led by others in a theological sense and being around other people that disagree with them theologically. What they mean is that they want the opportunity to live out on a daily basis their faith, even if it means that they're, you know, that they're struggling their way through it and it's messy and it's, you know, and that they're working on it together with other people. Hmm. That's what they mean. But it's not this sort of like a relativistic sense of like, you know, I need a church that agrees with me on every point. That's not
gotcha.
Who these people are.
Gotcha. I appreciate you clarifying that. Well, let's give a face to the Duns or these church refugees. What would you, if you were to describe just who they are, it's my understanding they're mostly white, well-educated. Can you mm-hmm. elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so I'll qualify this by saying that the you know, this is the demographic data that we've got from our study. We're in the middle of launching a national quantitative study but I don't think that this is going to change. I mean, all the evidence that we've seen points to what was revealed in our research, which is that these are white, well-educated, financially stable, and more likely to be married than the general population. And what this means is not so much that it's sociologically what I'm interested in here is not that there's that we could predict who these people are, but what this profile should tell you is that it reinforces the point that these are people who are in our society, white, well-educated, financially stable, and married people are used to being in positions of power, and they know how to get things done, and society generally works for them for a variety of reasons, some earned and some, you know, because of structural inequality in our society. But the point is that this is a group of people that is, you know, they feel empowered to make their own decisions, and when they feel like the church is not empowering them, this is a group of people that is not just going to stand there and say, okay, because they don't do that in other parts of their life.
Gavin, what do you say to a person like this who's done, who's been told you're out of the will of God because you left church? What do you say to that person?
Well, I think that what I say to the folks and what I've said to myself, in a sense, is that, hey, one, you're not out necessarily out of the will of God. You know, the scriptures, I think, that people get a lot of times that I remember thinking about, like, you know, and I probably heard it, if I heard it once, I heard it 100 times, is that, hey, don't forsake the assembling together of the believers, you know.
And the people who use that are usually saying, don't forsake the assembly into my, you know, of my church.
There is this playlist. So one, I say, hey, I say that scripture is true. Like, we need to not forsake meeting together with believers, but it doesn't have to be within the structures and the systems that you're familiar with, that there's great hope for you, that you're not alone, that there are thousands and thousands of believers all over America whom are finding community and faith in Christ in very natural relational ways that are not contrived, they're not forced, there's not a system of power in place that is always, you know, perhaps making you feel obligated to do certain things that maybe are extra biblical in some cases, and at best, and sometimes.
For example, what do you mean?
I mean, just be here. You know, when the doors are open, sign up to volunteer for this program. Here's what God's doing. You need to join Him in doing this whenever you maybe are not interested in that. Maybe you see God doing something completely different, and you don't really yet, but yet you're made to feel as though you're a bad church member because of what this person is excited about, you're not necessarily excited about her, you know, and so you don't really want to be involved in that. You may want to be involved in something you see going on in your neighborhood that maybe no one's involved in. It's just something you happen that God shows you, or it's not even maybe quote unquote church related. And you feel guilty about maybe applying yourself there because you only have so many hours in a day, and to do that would mean that there'd be no way you could possibly apply yourself in what you're supposed to do, which is at this church. And so, you know, there's just these tension there and those things that happen, and so people they're living in that. But if that is you, then I think there is great encouragement for you, and that's what this podcast is all about. If you're new here and you are a Dunn, we want to let you know, hey, you found the place here. We want to meet with you, encourage you any way that we can. We don't want to encourage you to forsake assembling together with other believers, but we want to encourage you to maybe think through how that can happen in a much more natural way, a way that might end up resulting in something that's much more akin to what you see happening in the New Testament than maybe what you have been seeing. And if you're a Dunn as described by this guy, we don't have to convince you that that's why you left. You were frustrated with the system that in many ways to you do not see reflected in the scriptures. It's not something you've thought through it. You understand that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you know, and if you don't, you do now, that, hey, you're all right. There's nothing really wrong with you. In fact, you might be right where God wants you. And that's where we've kind of found ourselves. And we've seen God do wonderful, exciting things as people have stepped outside of that to begin making disciples and planting and being a part of the God's process of planting simple, organic church communities. And so be encouraged. Be encouraged.
So, Gavin, somebody calls you up or emails you and say, hey, I am done. I am a Dunn. I'm done with this church. And I would like to investigate what you are doing with your church and ways that I could plug myself in. How do you handle a person like that?
Well, I handle them with cheer and joy because that's exactly the kind of folks that I love to talk with, and that's the kind of people that we want to be there to support and encourage. I would be very excited for such a phone call, and I would love to, you know, as with a lot of these things, because there's not a one-size-fits-all approach, you know, it's hard to just say, well, you know, do this, do that, and boom, there you go. Although, you know, as we've discussed in future podcasts, we're going to try to kind of begin walking folks through it as kind of rebooting this podcast, where we're going to really kind of be there for that person and try to give some action points to help people get started. So without getting, you know, too far ahead of ourselves, say, listen up, in the future, we're going to really, really kind of walk through a process of helping folks to do that. But if someone calls me, I want to meet with them. I want to sit down and talk with them. I want to give them some resources to maybe get their wheels spinning. I want to ask some good questions. I want to kind of meet people where they are and say, hey, here, you know, again, not some people can just start meeting right away with a group of friends they have and begin kind of a simple church community, and it can happen overnight. Others, it might be more of a process. There's no right or wrong way. I've seen God do it a whole bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is, as I want to say to those folks, is this, is that you're okay, you're not messed up, and this is going to be a journey. And that's what the Christian life is. It's a journey. It's not a set of it's not a structured routine of comfort. And what you might find is that actually is appealing once you start down this road to some level, because this is not easy, you know, and life with Christ was never intended to be easy. It can be simple in form, but it will be difficult in practice. But it will be highly rewarding, and God will use you to do wonderful things, things that He is going to use you to do, to reach folks and touch lives in ways that, quite frankly, would not have been possible had you just stayed within the system and kept doing the things you've been doing for the last how many ever years you've been doing it. And so be encouraged. And by all means, give us a call, and we'd love to walk down that road with you. I don't think there's an easy answer.
There is no easy answer. And, you know, sometimes you may be getting the skunk. You know, you may be, he might be a dun, but he might be a stinky dun, you know, a skunky dun that kind of left the church in a bad way and now wants to plug himself into your situation. Is there a vetting process or something that, or debriefing that we could do with that person?
Yeah, well, and to be fair to I think the book, you know, what he's saying is that most of the people who he calls duns are not those folks.
Yeah,
so,
and hopefully they're not. Hopefully.
That might be a different category of a person who left the church. It was maybe, I think what he's saying is that you're, you know, disappointed but not really bitter. Like, you have fond memories, you have affection and appreciation.
So these are good duns
for the traditional church. Yeah, we're talking. I think John, the 33, you know, maybe not all of those 33% of folks. That would be something that I would like to read the book to find out more. I'm not sure that 33% of American adult population that's left the church have that affection for it. But there are no doubt a lot of people that do. You know, I do. I know you do, Tom. Like, you know, I'm highly grateful for the traditional church, and
me too. You know, I spent more than 40 years in it,
so. And still today, I have a great affection and appreciation for that. I mean, in many ways, I sit there and I see, man, the, you know, I've seen that system from within, and although I don't think I can be a part of it, I've seen the hearts of a lot of great people, just like you and me, that are trying to figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work out. And I think maybe, you know, there's some reasons why that could be avoided, which is why we're sitting here doing this. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of really great-hearted people that love Jesus that are doing their very best with what they know and what they can figure out and the way they see it to really reach people and give people hope and help families grow stronger in the Lord and grow in Christ and fulfill their destiny here on earth. And you know, just because we maybe have a different methodology sometimes or the way that might best be done doesn't mean by any means that they're bad people. And so, yeah, I think that there is no doubt this is going on, and this book and the research that he's done does nothing but, to me, affirm that. And it highlights the need. If they're never coming back, and I think this is a question that our traditional folks, friends, you know, have to ask and rest. If they truly are never coming back, then what are we going to do about it? Are we going to insist that they come back, or are we going to adapt and change to go with them where they are going? And that's,
or empower them to go where they're going, and assemble, you know, their following. And God is telling them, I have a special job for you, that you've trained yourself in this brick and mortar church, you've been discipled, you've been through all these wonderful programs, and you've done all you can do in here. Now I've got an apostolic assignment. In other words, I'm being sent, you know. Yeah. I'm being sent to a situation, a location, a people group. Maybe I'm being sent overseas. Maybe that's what these duns are destined for. Maybe they are going to be the ones that will be involved in starting something that God has uniquely gifted them for.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Overseas or down the street, you know. And we've talked about this. Like, I would encourage any person within the church structures that are existing in America today, you know, we have got to figure out a way to model and to show the world what it looks like to send someone down the street, not to grow our church, but to begin a new work, to really release people. And I think that is one of the things, you know, when you have a simple system of church thinking, and like we advocate, that can happen overnight. There's no economic barriers preventing anyone from leaving a traditional church, being sent by a traditional church or a group of people to go down the street and begin a new work. And there's excitement with that. There's risk with that. There's reward, and there's high reward with that. And there's a lot of folks. The Duns are, again, they're leaders. They're not, these are leader type people. These aren't people whom are just spectators who said, the show's not good enough anymore. I mean, these are people that were leaders and have gifts of leadership, but they're done. And we can really, there's an army, they're an army of people that could really be mobilized to really do great good if they were empowered and released and told they were, you know, encouraged in that.
Right.
But it's a hard thing, you know, it's a hard thing. There may be some, I think, inherent things, as we've talked about in the show.
I think we all need to be aware of how different personalities work with other personalities, and hopefully these aren't, you know, rugged individuals, lone rangers we're talking about, but people who do want to work as a team and do want to work, you know, one another and with the body of Christ, knowing that, you know, they have gifts that God has given them, but recognizing, you know, other people have other gifts. How can we all build up the church? How can we all build up the church without seeing I'm more important than you are? I am doing something cooler than you are.
So if you're a Dun and you want encouragement, we'd love to hear from you. How are you working through this? We'd love to hear your story and share it. We'd love to encourage you. Hopefully this podcast has been an encouragement to you. Hang in there. Keep plugging on. Keep trusting Christ. And we thank you for joining us on Keep It Simple podcast. We look forward to having you join us next time. Again, you can reach us at keepitsimplepodcast.com. Thank you very much.
All right. We're done here.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast, or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.